today on Real Radio.
We stretch out our neck, we scan the horizons for any moment. In an hour that you think not, the Son of Man comes. Jesus says, watch therefore and be ye ready. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a message called How a Church Ought to Go. Part 1 begins in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with verses 13 through 18. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian church to encourage them in their commitment to Christ. Paul now takes a break from instruction about holy living to teach on prophetic doctrines of the Bible. The return of Jesus Christ is a coming event that Paul shares in every chapter of his letter. His desire was to bring hope to the church that death was not the final act. Today, Pastor Jack describes the tribulation period as it's written in the book of Revelation. He'll also use some other prophetic verses from the New and Old Testaments to clarify why the church has to be taken up to heaven before certain events can take place. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
One of the elders says, who are these guys arrayed in white robes and where do they come from? If you keep reading the book of Revelation 7, chapter 7, it will say, these are they who have come out of great tribulation and they've given their lives for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And later on, they will say, they who died for Jesus out of the tribulation period will say, under the altar, it says, their voice comes out and says, Lord, when will you bring our brethren up here that they can join us too? And the Lord responds and says, they have to come the same way you did. They will give their lives for the testimony of Christ. They'll join you later. I'm paraphrasing. They must die as you have died for the witness of Christ. Oh, okay. The one who was supposed to be of the church going through the tribulation period didn't even recognize where he was coming from and why his buddies were even there. In other words, the post-tribulation view is not correct. But don't hang your hat on that one. It gets worse if you're a post-tribulationist. And like I said, I'm telling you, this study brought me around to be thinking right many years ago. And I need you to stay with me here. Jot all these verses down. Revelation 11, 16. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell down and worshiped God. They're in heaven. Revelation 14, verse 3. Revelation 14, 3 says, they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. The location again is heaven. Revelation 19, 4. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sat on his throne. And they said, amen. And I got to tell you, the location obviously is in heaven. But it's a beautiful thing to me when God begins to work upon our hearts and things begin to cook and begin to happen. And you start to see what this is teaching us. That we too at the end can say amen. I love old man Ken. You don't know him. He comes first service, 94 years old. Sits right there where you're sitting. And old man Ken will, when something touches his heart, he'll go, amen! And then John, usually to the left of me, will always, when something touches his heart, he'll say, amen! And in Revelation, the blessing of what we just read, they say, amen! Because it is good news. And you want to hear some good news? I hope dispels any doubt about you going through the tribulation or not. If you want to go through the trib, that's your business. But we're not going through the trib. Jack, you sound like you want to escape it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Well, who are these 24? Well, we know who they're not. We know that they're not angels. We've seen that over and over again. But you can check that later in Revelation 5:11. They're not angels. They're not living creatures, the seraphim. You can check that in Revelation 5:8. They're not them. They're not a great multitude of believers coming out of the tribulation. Revelation 7, verses 9, 11, and 13. They're not Gentile believers coming out of the tribulation period. We know that for a fact. They are definitely not the 144,000. Well, how do you know that? Because the 144,000, first of all, are you ready? All, with all due respect, there's people knocking at your door who say that there's 144,000, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and that they're the 144,000. I mean this with all seriousness, and I use this at my doorstep. I'd like to talk to one of the 144,000, please. Seriously, I want to talk to one. We're talking about heaven and hell here. We're talking about life and death situations. I want to talk to one. Okay, well, we'll have one come by. Somehow they have these guys recorded in Brooklyn somewhere because there's more than 144,000 in their ranks. And the precious Jehovah's Witnesses that come to your door, they're not expecting to live like the 144,000 are to live. It's a very sad story. But you ask, if you happen to knock, if it knocks on the door and you say, are you one of the 144? And let's say the guy says, yes, I am. Wow. Let me see. According to Revelation 7 and chapter 14 as well, I'd like to know what tribe you're from. Because you should be able to tell me right now. There's 12,000 from each tribe. So which tribe are you from? My next question to you is, can you speak a little Hebrew for me? Because you have to speak Hebrew to be one of the 144,000. Next question. Are you a virgin? Because it says you have to be a virgin. Revelation 7 and 14. Well, you failed all these questions. Let me ask you one more. Let me ask you just one more. Are you a man? Because they have to be males. 144,000 men who speak Hebrew who are virgins in the tribulation period. And they know what tribe they've come from. If you meet one, they ought to know this. And that is a cold, hard fact. Well, these guys are not the 144,000. Neither is the watchtower. Who are they? I told you that we didn't really know. We can only guess. 1 Chronicles 24:4 tells us there that there's elders representing the work of God on the continual priesthood. You can read that later. People, this is a very serious point that I'm going to get, and we need to get moving out of here. But this is so serious. Grab your Bibles now, everyone, and go to Revelation 5, verse 8. Everyone. Revelation 5:8. If you have an old King James Version Bible, I want you to listen carefully. If you have a new King James Version Bible, listen carefully. If you have a New American Standard, NAS, okay, I want you to hang on to your seats. And if you have an NIV, I want you to get a grip and hang on. I mean this sincerely. Watch this. This is one of the reasons why, people, there is a great confusion about the rapture and the second coming. And it ought not to be. And there are people, by the way, right now doing investigations to try to figure out why this happened. Remember, your Bible in the original language is without contradiction and without error. We have a Bible that's written in English, and because we don't know good English anymore, we ought to be able to pick up, by the way, the old King James Bible and be able to speak it. Many Russians in Russia speak that language because that's how they've been taught. Queen's English. What do we speak? God help us. But because your Bible's been translated from the Greek, Aramaic, and Hebrew into English, we lose a lot. The NIV and the NAS is a good Bible for the Old Testament, but they fail miserably, the NIV specifically in the Old, by virtue of the language difference from Greek to Hebrew. Listen to this. Follow along very carefully. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and the golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. Who sings the new song? The 24 elders. Look at it carefully. Sing this song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed. Somebody shout it out. Who's got something different? You have them, don't you? How many of you have them in your Bible? Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. I'm not going to shoot you. Most NIVs have it. It's okay. Raise your hand. Them. Just a few of you. Follow along with me. Redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Who's singing the song? The 24. Where did they come from? Every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation, they are Gentiles. Everybody agrees with that. No problem. They're Gentiles. They came from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation, and they, where are the 24? Where are they? In heaven. Watch this. Verse 10, and made us, some of your Bibles say them, kings and priests to our God, and we, some of your Bibles say they, don't they? Doesn't it? They shall reign, we shall reign on the earth. Listen, that right there has birthed so much confusion that a lot of people come to a post-tribulation view based upon this, when the oldest manuscripts of the New Testament say us, and a later manuscript in 600 by Gnostics generated their own Jesus seminar type of work and changed it to them and they. And it takes the church or the 24 or whomever and puts them into the tribulation period and at the very least cast great doubt because of the song that they sing. You see, they're singing a song from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation while they're in heaven. And they're praising God for salvation. For whose salvation? Theirs or someone else's? For theirs. The question is, why did the men in the NIV do that? Why in some of the translations of your scriptures in the NIV, why did they delete Revelation 1, verses 17 and 18 and put something different in there? When it says that he is Jesus, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, who was alive and died and has come back from the dead. Some of them deleted it completely. Serious stuff. People, the point is, the church is in heaven, not on the earth during the tribulation period. And some people didn't believe that, so they tampered with a few words. But thank God he has preserved for us the most ancient and original text. That's something, isn't it? Number 6 is the problem of Gentile believers at the second coming. What are you saying? Jot down the verses, study them later. Jot down 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Revelation 6. 11, Revelation 11, 7, Revelation 13, 7, Daniel 7, 21. What do these verses say? I'm sorry to do this to you because it's just so late. This is what the scriptures say. Look at them later. We have a problem, and I hope you can follow along with this. The scriptures teach us, look at those passages that we just gave you. The scriptures teach, let me give you one more, very serious. Revelation 20, verses 4 on. Revelation 20, verses 4 on tell us that everyone who does not receive the mark of the beast must be beheaded for their testimony of Jesus Christ. All of them. During the tribulation period, you either receive the mark or you don't receive the mark of the beast. We've studied that last summer. We'll do it again this summer. To refuse the mark was to die by the hands of the Antichrist. That Daniel 7:21 says, power was given to him by God Almighty that he might overcome the saints and destroy them. How extensive of a destruction does the Antichrist do to the saints during the tribulation period? Well, only to the point where they're totally eradicated. Not one of them survive. The book of Revelation says so. Not one Gentile Christian survives the tribulation period. They must die for their faith in Christ. A remnant of the Jewish people who believe in Jesus Christ will survive because God takes them to a place called Petros, the rocky, craggy place that we talked about. The Bible says this. Listen, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17 says that we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Paul said that to the Thessalonian church. They were a bunch of Gentiles. Paul says when Jesus Christ returns, we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord. At the end of the second coming, there are no Gentiles surviving. There's nobody to rapture. They all die for their faith. The only Gentiles that do survive are those who have treated Israel kindly during their plight. And they are not believers. They just treated Israel kindly, and they have the privilege of having Matthew 25 fulfilled. They will be the mortals that live into the millennial kingdom. That is a major problem if you're a post-tribulationist, so much so, you've got to change your mind. Because Jesus comes for the church, those who are alive and remaining, and we're caught up, and we go with him for at least 7 years. And then he comes with us, we come down with him, Maranatha, Revelation 19, out of the heavens, down to the earth, dressed in army gear and in marital gear, to establish the kingdom. All those who will come to faith in Jesus Christ during the tribulation period who are Gentile must die. I didn't say it. The Bible teaches it. And there's no exceptions. Do you see how the pre-tribulation rapture has to be? We who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The Bible says it's imminent at any second. And if you miss it, Paul says that God will send you strong delusion so that you will believe the lie of the Antichrist so that you cannot be saved. For when you have the opportunity, we'll study in the next few weeks. It says there in Thessalonians that while you had available to you the knowledge of the truth, you will not be able to believe it later. He'll send you blindness so that you will believe the Antichrist's lie. People, it's easier now to believe in Jesus Christ and commit your life to him now than to say, I'll wait for the tribulation period. You will be blinded by God Almighty because of your rejection and your procrastination. And that door like Noah will shut and you'll be left out. We stretch out our neck, we scan the horizons for any moment. In an hour that you think not, the Son of Man comes. Jesus says, watch therefore and be ye ready. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. The imminent return of Jesus Christ. If you're a post-tribulationist, we got time. Man, we got to see the Antichrist arise out of Europe. We've got cataclysmic events coming. I can open up my Bible and watch the bowls be poured out and the hailstones 100 pounds hitting the earth, destroying crops and homes. We got time before. Listen, Daniel chapter 12. You want to get wigged out right before you get baptized? Daniel chapter 12 tells you that from the day the Antichrist performs the abomination of desolation, you can count the days from that moment on, and you'll know the time of the second coming. But of the rapture, no man knows the day or the hour. Just like the first coming of Jesus Christ, they were supposed to open up their books on April 6th, 32 AD, and say, hey, today's the day the ancient prophecies foretold that the Messiah would come. We better look for a guy riding on the donkey, and everybody's saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. And that's exactly what happened. The first coming to Israel, the day was known. The second coming to Israel, the day shall be known, concerning the rapture of the church. Can't set a date. No man knows the day or the hour. That's why you better be ready. Do all of us go? Jesus said, only those who are ready. Don't call me up. Don't ask me what that means. I'm just telling you, I don't know it. He just says, you better be ready. Sheep have a tendency, I think, to maybe be ready. Let's pray. Lord, heavy, heavy things. Enough stuff, Lord, to keep a college class spinning, that's for sure. Lord, my heart goes out to anyone who might have visited for the first time and think, oh man, what have I got myself into here? But Lord, you're God, you're sovereign, we're your people, this is your Bible, this is a church, we love you, and maybe they're here for a reason. Truth is truth, and Lord, I pray that we would always be very, very, very careful to present it godly and truthfully, effectively, Lord, as we talk about these most serious, serious issues. Lord, I praise the Lord for the brother last service who just came up with great joy and says, my goodness, it's as though the imminent return doctrine is vital to my salvation. Ooh, what a definition. How correct and accurate he was. Jesus, set it within our hearts to be ready for you, not to have our feet in this world and our hands in the mud and all gooped up and messed up, Father, latching and hanging on to things that don't matter. But may we be giving our hearts to you now, always. Father, bless this church and cause it to walk aright with you. While we're praying right now, people, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. If it affects you, go to the prayer room after service. But if Jesus was to come back now, would you have gone? If in your heart you're fearful about that, if you've got to speculate, the fear was generated by the Holy Spirit himself, and he's saying to you right now, if you're not sure, you're not ready. And oh, I beg of you in the name of God, do not leave this place until you are ready by simply setting the record straight with him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How a Church Ought to Go. Thanks so much for listening today, and please be encouraged. The pain and sorrows of this world are only temporary when you give your life over to the Lord. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, did you know if you ever miss a radio program here on Real Radio, it's real easy to catch up. Let's say we're in the middle of a series and you're kind of catching us halfway through or partway through anyway, and you want to catch up on what you might have missed, or maybe you want to share it with a friend. It's real easy to do. Just simply go to our website. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And a few points, a few clicks, you'll be catching up with the lessons in no time at all. You can look for specific lessons. You can look for specific topics if you'd like. And while you're there, be sure to check out the videos that Pastor Jack makes. Listen, if you like Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love seeing him on the TV or on the computer screen. So go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Catch up on some programs that you might have missed. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.